In our story today, Jesus visits the mother-in-law of two of his disciples, of his first disciples, Andrew and Simon, the one who would later be called Peter. And we don't know why they bring Jesus here, except that maybe it's because she is sick. Maybe they think Jesus can heal her. I'd like to bring to mind what we've just been reading in this gospel story over the last few weeks. The evangelist we call Mark has brought to us John and the baptism. Jesus taking on John's ministry of calling people to repentance. Jesus calling two sets of brothers to be his disciples. And then the public teaching in the synagogue we read about last week. We have heard about Jesus entering into his ministry of teaching his disciples and strangers. They have just witnessed this great public healing. And these four disciples bring Jesus to this place to do this thing, I suppose. And he does. He lifts her up, it says. A provocative word, lift, to raise her up. So when that's done, they go and find a bunch more people. Not just the personal healing they just had, not just the mother-in-law, right? Not just family anymore, but now the town's sick and needy, and it's so public, the whole town comes out to see it. So then the next day, Jesus goes off by himself. And when the disciples eventually find him after searching, they tell him that everyone is looking for him. That sounds like the dream, doesn't it? The thing that we're supposed to do, right? The thing that we're supposed to want. Everyone searching for Jesus, right? The whole town, maybe even the whole world. And Jesus is thinking, all right, I guess it's time to move on then. So they leave and they go to the neighboring towns. In the Greek, it highlights that they intend to go to these towns by another way, a phrase we are familiar with in another spot. Jesus is trying to sneak out of town and not be found by these crowds. So, what's going on? I don't know about you, but I thought we were in the business of bringing people to Jesus. Right? Isn't that what we do? So this passage seems a bit confusing, doesn't it? Aren't we hoping for the great crowds to come and find Jesus and be healed by him? Is that not our job? Well, I think that's half right. We're called to follow, we're called to learn, and there are so many who seek Jesus, a Jesus who may be more difficult to find than we think. So we invite them to join us. But what is it then to have a Jesus who doesn't want to be found? A Jesus that would evade the people searching for him. And what are we to do with that? It's one thing to have this job to do of bringing people to see Jesus. And it's another to have that job be sabotaged willfully by Jesus. Now, the evangelist we call Mark has not only told some interesting story. He's given us a contrast in it. The mother-in-law is healed, and that is set up against the town's healing. Right? Both are brought to Jesus. Both need healing. Both are healed. But what is different, other than the scale, is how they respond to being healed, how they respond to the grace shown to them. Jesus heals the mother-in-law, and her response is immediately to serve. When Jesus heals these crowds with the entire town looking on, they are looking for the miracle, the next miracle. They're looking for the wonder worker. They are looking for Jesus, and not only those receiving the grace, but the onlookers, all of them, the gawkers, the hangers-on, they are looking for the big show. And they are wondering if they can truly believe what is happening. Maybe he'll do it again. While the mother-in-law receives her gift of grace and immediately sets about sharing it. She serves. Jesus leaves town perhaps because of his notoriety, but perhaps also because the people are more interested in him, in the wonders he has done, in the power that he possesses, and not in what God is calling him to do, not in what he is calling the people to do. He leaves town then because the only person in that town that gets what Jesus is about is Andrew and Simon's mother-in-law. We are given profound acts of grace in our lives, but especially in our community. In the life of Skander Nasser, whose eternal life we celebrated on Friday, in the service of wonderful volunteers who made the Nasser family feel not only welcome, but for many of them, as if they truly returned home for the first time in years. Perhaps a bit like prodigals. In our meetings and in our fellowship gatherings, in which the Spirit's presence can be so easily unnoticed, but most especially for us, when we gather as we do this morning, sharing in word and prayer, confession and absolution, we reunite with our friends in other pews, offering the peace of reconciliation. And then, as if we could ignore the Spirit's presence up to that point and the grace that comes with it, we come and we share at the one table as one people, one body, eating from the same wafer, drinking from the same cup or two. And we receive the physical reminder of the grace given to us by God. And when we do this, and when we're done receiving, we are called to serve. We get a dismissal telling us to go out into the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit, or blessing the Lord, to give of ourselves as an expression of our thanks. Serving in the overt ways we like to serve at the Salvation Army and at the homeless shelter, but also in those quiet ways of bringing the donuts early Sunday morning and telling stories to our children at the end of our time. We serve. And we serve because that is the only way Christ is known to us and to one another. Christ's grace comes when we lift each other up, and we lift up our own hearts to receive. As a servant of a gracious God, as the followers of the holiest servant.